You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My mother taught me to refuse hate. She taught me to refuse blanket judgment. And in this time, and with all of the internet and social media and algorithms and everything that wants us to think a certain way, the 24-hour news cycle, it is my hope that all of us would teach our kids, and not only to remember, just refuse hate. Don't hate anybody. I refuse to hate someone because they are Mexican or because they are black or white. Or LBGTQ.
Those are excellent remarks last night from the Oscar from movie producer Tyler Perry, and he said more. This is April 26, 2021. Now, I doubt many of you bothered to watch the usual red carpet nonsense that takes place. And ironically, there was a push by police and the city to run homeless folks out of the area. They decided to relocate the Oscars, put it in a more central position, location, whatever, for distancing. So, and a lot of homeless encampments around this area. Well, they didn't want that on TV. Come on. So they sent the word out, starting 2 weeks ago, pack up and leave or we will move you. And I noticed the Babylonian Bee, which is a great satire piece, showed what purported to be a man who is homeless sitting on the side holding his head in his hand like, I can't believe this. And behind him, there are lines and lines of limos and a red carpet laid out and bejeweled actresses coming out and studly-looking stars. And has a caption under him that says, suddenly surrounded by, let me see, I don't recall the exact phrase, basically degenerates, drug users. It's tough to be homeless if you're in L.A. and they want to hold the Hollywood Oscars in front of your home or your tent. Irony of all ironies, right? But Tyler Perry last night made some remarks that got applause. Now, you heard some pretty good applause there. He added another line about hating. The applause kind of began to die off because of the next thing he said. I want to spend more time on that before we wrap up today, something we all need to keep in mind. We also have, again, Dr. Fauci believes the CDC will soon provide new COVID-19 guidance regarding face masks for outdoor settings. And he adds, it's common sense to do so. So now all the science that we were told, science says this, now they say, okay, let's forget the science, let's look at common sense. You remember the mother last week that went ballistic at the school board on behalf of her six-year-old and other kids? I want to pick up that story again and tied into now this latest concern by the CDC. Well, maybe we should revise. Of course, they're still talking about mask outdoors. And at a track meet over the weekend, a young lady trying to set a record, high schooler, having to run an 800-880 with a mask on. She set a record time for her school, but collapses at the end. She couldn't get enough oxygen. No kidding. And she was forced to run like that. Talk about real stupidity that still exists out there. We're going to get into that. Also, word coming out. Do you believe this? The Iranian foreign minister claims, it's his claim, in some recently leaked audio that John Kerry, when he was Secretary of State under Obama, that John Kerry gave him intel on more than 200 Israeli operations in Syria. We can prove that's going to be a blockbuster. And, of course, if you're looking for some common sense again, you have to consider Bill Maher. Always been a left-wing darling for many, but suddenly the guy is more down the road, center of the road more than before. And, again, some of the comments and remarks he make. I hope AOC and the rest of her crowd listen. And if they hear it, they probably say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's okay. But what he has to say is, again, very clear, just as is Tyler Perry's remarks, and just as now Dr. Fauci says everything needs, we need to go back to common sense. That's what we're going to do over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Every month I come here and I hear the same thing. Social emotional health. If you truly mean that, you would end the mask requirement tonight. Tonight. This is not March 2020 anymore. We have three vaccines. Every adult in the state of Georgia that wants that vaccine is eligible to get it right now. And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5- and 6-year-olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7- and 8-year-olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us.
That is as poignant and as direct and as emotional as you would expect from a mother who says, I am seeing at this time, I'm seeing that my child and all these other children are being subjected to onerous rules and restrictions that have no basis in fact. In the beginning, we did not know that much about COVID, but it didn't take long to realize that children are not likely to spread it. They're not likely to have it, but we continue to keep them out of class. And then going back to class, they must wear the mask. And that mother in Gwinnett County, speaking to that county board of education in Georgia, said, my 6-year-old continues to suffer with this and ask, Mom, when are you going to ask them? When are you going to go up there and raise that question for us? And she said, it's not time now, darling. We got other things to kind of work through. The time is not right. But she said, here we are all of these months, and you guys aren't doing anything. Talking about the school board. Well, of course, the school board can claim, well, the CDC. But again, there's been always so much confusion on this. I mean, comments coming out yesterday yesterday from White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci on ABC's This Week. Said there's a possible shift in federal recommendations on masks outdoors. Outdoors. He said it's common sense. I think you and I knew it was common sense. But now the doctor and CDC are looking at common sense, that there's a lower risk of spreading the virus outdoors. He said the agency would probably make its recommendation coming as a larger portion of the population gets vaccinated after ensuring it looks, quote, at all the data and the data backs it up. So again, George Stephanopoulos, I didn't bother pulling the sound bites. I can do it a lot quicker than they do. George doing his best thing to try to act like he has some intel and he wants to really drill down on it, but he doesn't want to do anything to shake the foundation of Dr. Fauci and the CDC. He said, well, we're seeing more and more talk about it. I know the CD is looking at perhaps revising guidance about wearing masks outdoors. What's your best guidance at this point? Fauci, I don't want to get ahead of them, but I think it's pretty common sense now. I don't know how many of you listening to me out there are, you know, schooled and maybe degrees in epidemiology or doctors or some kind of scholar. But I'm willing to bet that the majority of you listening, regardless if your education went through high school and not much more, or those of you listening that are probably still in high school, I do have a lot of young people listening, and I appreciate it. Or you maybe, because of World War II, you never even got to finish high school. Or maybe you have all kinds of degrees. But do you really need all that to know? Common sense says, if you're outdoors, do you need to wear a mask? Common sense says, if you're in your car by yourself, do you really need to have a mask on? Common sense says, when you see Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, walking through the graves at Arlington, no one within yards of him, walking past tombstones, is wearing a mask, not one, but two outdoors. Does it make common sense that when all the leaders were doing their viral Zoom last week as they began to talk about climate change and climate concerns, not one of the leaders of the other nations appeared on their Zoom camera wearing a mask? But Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, sitting in whatever space they set up for him, had a mask on, two masks. And he talked to him and said, well, I think what we should do is you can, am I on? Hey, hello, hey, is that on? Okay. Common sense. And that's something, by the way, I want you to hear from Bill Maher before we wrap up this hour, right? Bill Maher is one of those guys that he can make some very poignant remarks, and usually has been an opinion enemy, I would say, at the least, of those who are of us who are more conservative. But you know what? I've had the opinion, and I think many of you do, that you don't have to be left, right, center, or have no politics for me to listen and say, you know, that's a good idea. Just because you have certain political stripes, I don't say that means you don't know what you're talking about. There are Democrats that are pretty smart people, and they are also into common sense. And believe me, right now, they are doing their darndest to hold their party along that line and not go off the rails entirely. So anyway, Fauci is saying, well, what the country is going to be hearing soon, updated guidelines from the CDC. The CDC is a science-based organization. They don't want to make any guidelines unless they look at the data and the data backs it up. They told us several weeks ago that children, even if they're in school, could be within 3 feet. And they told us prior to that time you can go ahead and open the schools. So that was all based on science, right? But you had all of the progressives trying to make it look worse and more dire and dangerous and ignoring the science if it didn't fit their version of science. And, of course, you had union bosses for teachers, while teachers were, in many cases, wanting to go back in and help their kids because they know, teachers know how damaging this has been to have these kids stuck on Zoom calls all of this time and what little can be accomplished and how much learning was lost and how much they're going to have to try to rush to catch up. And as I told you the other day, some school districts are deciding to drop some Excel classes that might have helped students get ahead going into college because, you know, they may not have picked it up enough, so we're going to have to do it over. Fauci had been saying for months, being outdoors is safer than being indoors. Okay. And yet he's still encouraging everybody to wear a mask outdoors. I try to get out on some good days. Today's one I definitely would do so. Try to get some walking in at least. Movement, people coming toward me on the park path. I don't have a mask on. If they even have a mask on, I will step to the side a little bit and they step off, or maybe they don't. And others coming at me, if they don't have a mask on, we give each other a little more space, but I'm not worried about it. And I don't think they are either, but we're just trying to show some, not concern that it really exists, but maybe to make the other person not feel threatened. That's fine. I have no issue with that. But I am getting at the point that once we have this herd immunity, we have the vaccinations, and we're told we're getting closer to that, why do we still have to have masks to go into some facilities and stores? Is it because they are afraid that if they drop the mask early, if the state hasn't sent an order or directive out, well, then if somebody goes in and they say, I got my COVID at that particular store, that they might be subjected to litigation. And that's a real legitimate issue, no doubt about that, because we have in this nation a lot of folks just, they're looking for an opportunity. There are times a commuter bus for a city or county is involved in some kind of accident. And at the time of the accident, there weren't but 12 people on the bus. But by the time police and ambulance, there were 40 people on that bus, all complaining of injuries and looking to see what they can get out of it. I want you, as I've said all along, to use common sense for you and your family. And whatever you believe, if it differs from what they're purporting to be science, that's your choice. And that's been the problem because we've had all these lockdowns that we have had constant pressure on folks, and businesses have been shut that will never open again, or they've been restricted to so few customers that it makes no difference to open up. They really can't make any money. And then, of course, all these government checks going out all the time, that's become tougher to get employees. There was a McDonald's, I want to say is in Florida, might have been Georgia. They can't even get people to come in for an interview. They are offering $50 if you just come in for an interview. I imagine they'll get some folks come in to an interview. They don't really want the work. They want the job and get a check or whatever else. But why not? They're going to offer $50, and it's cash, apparently. It's not exchange or coupons for a burger. So if we read the numbers, and you believe them, from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued last week, 1 in 3 U.S. adults are now fully vaccinated. Fully. More than half have received one dose. I'm one of those waiting on the second dose. I wasn't going to get it, but I made a promise to my daughters that I'm going to because I promised. And yet we still have these mask mandates, especially for children. I want to go back again. I want you to hear again this mother pleading with her school board on behalf of millions of parents.
We elected the five of you. We chose you to make difficult decisions for our children. We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, enforcing 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-, and 9-year-old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children. My 6-year-old can't come up here and say this. It has to stop. Take these off of our children.
Good. I agree fully. In the meantime, there's some scams going around. We knew that. But, of course, they all want to lay these at the feet of Donald Trump. He had nothing to do with it. But there is a Florida family indicted for selling bleach as a miracle cure. This father and his sons were peddling this miracle mineral solution, and they were doing it in large part with the help of churches, I guess, making it a religious thing as well, calling it Genesis 2. They describe themselves as a non-religious church, but they say this can cure. They generate more than $1 million, according to the indictment. Of course, they're now under investigation. Well, what about New York Governor Cuomo? Remember, he pointed out a New York State-branded hand sanitizer? He said, this doesn't do anything better than the commercial market. Is he going to be sued? Ah, what a stupid question. I got another one coming up. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a story that deserves a lot more of attention than I can give it today because I hadn't had a chance. I had a guest I was going to have get into more detail, so we'll have to try to do that tomorrow. It just didn't work out. But this is, if this is true, and I emphasize that part, there's a report that comes from a apparently leaked audio, some audio, that shows then Secretary of State John Kerry, remember serving as Secretary of State during the Obama administration, talking to the Iranian foreign minister Zarif. Now, whether Kerry's on that audio saying that or someone's got a tape of the Israeli foreign minister Zarif making this claim, as I said, we need more details on it. But Zarif apparently is saying that while Kerry was Secretary of State, he was informing the Iranians of something like 200 Israeli operations in Syria, colluding with Iranian leaders. And there's been suggestions that even during the Trump administration, Kerry was still wandering around the Middle East and so forth and doing the same thing, this time to destroy the Trump administration. Well, of course, he's back with the Biden administration, but now as a National Security Council Special Presidential Envoy for Climate. What a title. I think you just, if you try to repeat his title, I think you have emitted maybe more emissions that hurt our ozone just reading the damn title. But anyway, Kerry apparently was telling Zarif that Israel was planning various attacks on Iranian targets in Syria. The New York Times has picked up this story. And if this is true, the statement by the foreign policy-focused Democrat Alliance Group wrote, and I agree, John Kerry was ratting out Israeli covert operations in Syria directly to the Iranian foreign minister. Let that sink in. Wow. This administration is giving lip service and not even much of that as to how much they want to be friends and alliances with Israel. Why? Well, because among the progressive squad, you've got some anti-Americans in their Muslim approach, hating Israel and wanting to destroy it. Now, not all Muslims nor Jews want to kill each other. But, of course, if you're going to be a progressive leader, or if you're going to be a leader of the Progressive Party, also known as the Democrat Party officially, well, then you need to make it clear that you're not that big of a fan of Israel. And remember when Biden got into office, he didn't bother calling Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. Nope, didn't do it. Didn't do it. Nothing pressing, no reason to jump. Oh, he talked to Canada. I think he talked to China. He talked to some others. I mean, ignoring one of our, I won't say one, our best ally in the Middle East. And, of course, the other part of that story is that Kerry was helping create the Obama-Iran nuclear deal, and they want it back on the table because Trump tore it up. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's try to get some common sense input from Bill Maher. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know the reason why advertisers in this country love the 18 to 34 demographic? Because it's the most gullible. Yeah. A third of people under 35 say they're in favor of abolishing the police. Not defunding, but doing away with a police force altogether, which is less of a policy position and more of a leg tattoo.
I have to admit, that's pretty, that's good writing. That's Bill Maher on his program, Real Time with Bill Maher. That started in 2003. And, of course, prior to that, from 1993 to 2002, he had Politically Incorrect. Good at political satire, socio-political commentary. And he targets a lot of topics, religion, political correctness, and mass media. He has, from time to time, in my opinion, stepped over the line on some things, but again, you have to look at him and consider he's a political commentator, an entertainer. But the problem we have had with him and some of these others posing, the actual posers of news and journalism, is they suck people in that don't really know anything about news, and all they get from that's it. That's it. They think that's it. So Maher is, in one of his comments now, tackling some of this leftist attitude that even he recognizes is too far out. It's not only not valid, it's damaging. It's damaging to the nation. Marr was raised in his Irish-American father's Roman Catholic religion. And apparently, only in his early teens did he realize his mother, whose family was from Hungary, was Jewish. He had a disagreement with the Catholic Church doctrine about birth control, so Marr's father stopped taking him and his sister to Catholic Church services when he was 13. And Marr admits, he admits, I was not the brightest student because, and he doesn't add it, but I think he probably said, I'm just too bored. But he did go to high school, he did graduate, went to Cornell, double majored in English and history. But he also said, and I'm quoting him, selling pot allowed me to get through college and make enough money to start off in comedy. You might have seen him back in his early part of his career on the Johnny Carson show, David Letterman, and so forth. But when he took on this program as politically incorrect with Bill Maher, as I said, a late-night political talk show that ran on Comedy Central from 93 to 97, then they got moved to ABC 97-2002, it usually had a typical monologue from him, and he would discuss various things. And you could tell his approach was going to be much more liberal than many, but does that mean it's not entertainment? No, you just have to understand it's entertainment. Now, see, the difference with a Bill Maher versus an Anderson Cottonmouth or Don Lemon Fruitcake, they think they're journalists. They really do. And Jim Acosta, Acosting Acosta, has his own program too now on CNN. They yanked him off the White House beat as soon as his apparent Trump was out. And they sent someone else in to take over the beat. The White House beat is a big deal. It is a big deal. Do you think Jim Acosta wanted to go? I don't know, maybe so. Because he thought if I don't have Trump to attack anymore. And that's all he was after. That was all he was doing on a daily basis. He also wasn't, quote, practicing journalism. He was practicing Jim Acosta. That's all he was doing. Getting as much playback and pushback as he could get and ending up on other news sources and outlets. And yeah, I put him on a few times. Not to highlight his intelligence. I didn't even try looking for the intelligence. But Bill Maher is looking around and watching today's progressives that are trying their best to redefine and transform, first, their party, secondly, and most important and most threatening, America. They want to transform this country. Now, they won't tell you directly sometimes, and sometimes they will. Sometimes it comes out of a speech someone picks up when they're addressing, they think, a like and loving crowd only. But they also said it clearly, Chuck Schumer himself. Chuck Schumer saying, reference the Georgia election, do you recall that? What was at stake with the two Georgia Senate seats in play? The Republicans had to win one of those seats to hold a majority in the Senate. To lose both of them would mean a 50-50 split. And that means the vice president gets to cast a deciding vote. But then when they won not one but two seats, Chuck Schumer came forward and said, first we won Georgia, now we transform America. Which again, Chuck Schumer is Jewish. And I still can't understand. I have a lot of good Jewish friends, and some of them are in quandary too. How he can be Jewish and then turn his back on helping Israel or maybe going along with just to get along, cutting off funding and things of that nature to Israel and just not making a big noise out of it. Now, Chuck Schumer did not sign off on the so-called Iran nuclear deal pushed by Obama. He was just silent. But silence says a lot as well. And you've got these folks in the Progressive Party, the new left, the new Democrats. JFK would not be welcome in their midst. Barack Obama is no longer welcome in their midst. Nancy Pelosi, they're trying to get her out as fast as possible. At the very, very least, they want to go into socialism in transforming our nation. And for many, the ultimate goal would be communism. And Bill Maher says, they don't know what they're talking about.
36% of millennials think it might be a good idea to try communism. But much of the world did try it. I know millennials think that doesn't count because they weren't alive when it happened. But it did happen. And there are people around who remember it. Pining for communism is like pining for Betamax or MySpace.
Pretty much true, right? And again, many of them don't really know what it is. In fact, they don't recognize how they're being led down this path. They think anything that rails against the establishment, especially when it's Trump, is a good thing. And they're going to continue to push and fight that way. And then, of course, you get into how they are always willing to rush forward, and mock anyone who disagrees with them. Bill Maher, again, let me put it in context for you. He was born in 1956. 56. Let me do my ciphering. Take him one, done two, three. Care. See. 56. He's 20 years older than me. Oh, did I do the math the wrong way? Forget it. Just go with the story. Go with the flow. But he also speaks out on behalf of those who are being condemned and no longer revered or considered valuable because they are, quote, old, when in fact, it's the experience that they're condemning. Again, Bill Maher.
So when you say you're old, you don't get it. Get what? Abolish the police and the border patrol and capitalism and cancel Lincoln? No, I get it. The problem isn't that I don't get what you're saying or that I'm old. The problem is that your ideas are stupid.
That's pretty good and pretty direct. And it's not just the squad and that mix and those around them. You've got some of those on the left that are trying to redefine themselves because they think that's going to be the future for them. Last Friday, MSNBC, Al Sharpton, pushed for policing to be defined by the federal government, for the federal government to decide. Maher has an answer for him as well.
You think someone 80 is hopeless because they can't use an iPhone? Maybe the one who's hopeless is the one who can't stop using it. You think I'm out of it because I'm not on Twitch? Well, maybe I get Twitch, but I just think people watching other people play video games is a waste of fucking time. Mm-hmm. 20% of Gen Z agree with the statement, society would be better off if all property was owned by the public and managed by the government. And another 29% say they don't know if that's a good idea. Here's who does know. Anyone who wasn't born yesterday.
Absolutely. And yet they're still out there pushing it. We'll take a break when we come back. A little bit more Sharpton on his attitude about policing. And LeBron James and his Twitter account. No punishment. Stand by.
Pretty woman. woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we have a situation going on, as I said a moment ago, where members of the left are trying to seize upon an opportunity. They think this is the time to defund police, reorganize police, get more control over police, and just basically slander and slur every officer, regardless of his or her actual performance. I was mentioning in the previous segment that Al Sharpton was over the last Friday on Morning Joe and saying, I've been talking to various folks, Congresswoman Bass, Senator Cory Booker. He said, you saw a conviction of Chauvin, Derek Chauvin he's talking about, during the trial and the killing of Dante Wright. Remember, he was the one shot by the female officer in Brooklyn Center outside Minneapolis. He said, now we have a situation looking into what is in Ohio and North Carolina. The Ohio case was the officer called until a 911 call came in that somebody's got a knife here trying to kill people, and he rolls up, doesn't have his pistol up out when he gets out. He sees some teenage girls pushing each other around. Turned out a couple of them were 19 or 20, and then one was 16. And he's just trying to get them to calm down until he sees a knife. And when he sees a knife, things escalate in a hurry. I want to go back over that in some detail in the next segment. But on the basis of all of that, Sharpton, and of course getting the blessings as well from Biden and Harris, I should say President Biden and Vice President Harris, and I'll tell you why in a moment, said we need to deal with it. He said we are seeing the absolute time that policing must be defined by the federal government. We have a constitution that already does that as to protections of civil rights and your rights. And yes, we have laws in each state and lawsuits and statutes in each state that are supposed to remedy wrongs and correct them. Does not happen all the way. We all the time, we acknowledge that. But it doesn't mean you stop trying. And you should know this. In many of these communities where those shootings have taken place, as we saw with the Derek Chauvin trial, the concern was if they come back and they don't convict him, or as Congresswoman Maxine Waters was saying, if they don't get guilty, guilty, guilty on all the charges, and not manslaughter, guilty, guilty, guilty on murder, we need to get more confrontational. And you can read that as more riots, more arson, more looting, more attacking. We saw the same thing, of course, around the area in Minneapolis where George Floyd was killed. There has been a posted area around that section, kind of a memorial for where it took place. And there are some signs basically telling whites that you need to come here and be respectful and you need to kind of be woke. And you also have black-owned businesses that are begging for financial help because they've had increased crime in their neighborhood. That one thriving corner of 38th and Chicago Avenue, according to the New York Post, had been really great for those black merchants. Police have abandoned it so many times, creating a dangerous autonomous zone, seeing crime spike, businesses evaporate. Portland, Oregon, of course, we saw what happened to them as they were basically letting anarchists have control of the city. And now the mayor of Portland is saying, enough, enough, we got to put an end to it. We need to unmask these guys and lock them up. They had more rioting and burning in Portland last night. For what? Because that's what they do. And again, I'll spend some more time on that in the next segment. I'd mentioned a moment ago as we went to break this remark by LeBron James the other day he put on Twitter. And this involves the shooting in Columbus, Ohio, where the officer, 16 months on the force, 23 years of age, arrives at a scene responding to a 911 call. And he sees the girls pushing each other around. He's just trying to stop, and then suddenly a knife comes out. And One of the girls holding the knife, getting ready to raise it and strike a girl next to her. She can't get away. She got her jammed up against a vehicle. He's hollering, get down, get down, and then he opens fire. LeBron James put up a picture on his tweet account of a white police officer at the scene. There were some black officers, but he didn't show that. He put those up and said, you're next, hashtag accountability. The question immediately, are you trying to put a target on a cop's back? Are you encouraging murder of a police officer? Well, James quickly decided to pull it down, but then he said he was having trouble. But the question for me then and is still now, why did Twitter allow it? Why didn't they yank it down? They're yanking down things left and right that they think violates their standard. Would that not violate the standard, or is it because who said it? Twitter right now still imposing no consequences. They haven't locked out his tweet. They said since he deleted it, it was no big deal. Oh, really? Is that the game? I can put up anything I want? And then I can take it down if you complain and I'm still be good? Or do I have to be LeBron James? Stand by for hour two.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.